Hello, Swamp Fox, and welcome to the September edition of the Fox Chatter. I'm Colonel Sean Bowes, your new wing commander, and I've been coaxed into continuing this podcast. So thanks for all of your feedback. Without that, this may not have survived, but a lot of people have said they've appreciated hearing the podcast from Vito, and I endeavor to continue that as long as it's useful to you. On this episode of the podcast, we're going to focus on September drill and our preparations for October when we're going to do the combat readiness inspection. So today we'll have retired Chief Master Sergeant Rob Wright, who is a member of the A staff, and he has been working diligently on trying to figure out the ACC Inspector General's intent for how this inspection should go so we can prepare ourselves to do as best as we can. We'll also bring in Staff Sergeant Mitch Duncan from Intel, who will give us a quick overview of how we might find ourselves in this type of situation in the real world. Before we get too deep into this, I'm going to start off by just thanking Vito. He did a great job in his year as the wing commander, and he set us on a trajectory for success. So now it's just up to us to follow through with that and continue to work on improving all of the things that he and his team set in place. So if you see him around, make sure you give him a pat on the back and thank him. I also want to say thank you to everyone who helped with the change of command. It was hot, and we had to be creative to combine multiple changes of command into one. But we got through it. Everything looked great. So thanks for everyone that set things up, especially to maintenance. Went out of their way to get, on that weekend, three flagship jets into a hangar so that each commander could have their name revealed on it, which is a big deal considering we're still flying those jets as well. Also, we just wrapped up a visit from Congressman Joe Wilson, who was doing his annual bus tour through South Carolina and stopped by to see members of his district. Congressman Wilson and his staff really enjoyed being around McIntyre and getting to see the airmen and soldiers and look at the jets and helicopters. He also gave us a chance to provide him an update on our strategic priorities that we are trying to work with our congressional delegation. Those include $50 million for a markup in congressional funds to provide the simulators that would go into the simulator facility that's currently being built. From the Army side, we're trying to push advocacy for a Gray Eagle. A Gray Eagle is a small unmanned aerial vehicle that the Army would operate in conjunction with their Apache helicopters. We also highlighted a few military construction projects that we're looking to advance in the upcoming years. One of those being trying to get some attention applied to the hangar. Facility is in desperate need of work, and we're working hard to try to make that happen for all of our maintainers. We also had some pilots from the Colombian Air Force who came up to visit as part of a subject matter expert engagement and learning from each other's experiences and how we can operate better. So the crosstalk between the two is vitally important. As you know, the Colombians are our state partners as part of the state partnership program through the National Guard Bureau. And we're starting preparations for potentially participating in Relampago 2025, which would be a joint exercise with us and the Colombians down in Colombia. So the cohesive team that we can build from that is of great value to both of our nations. Also, the Foxtrot Warrior Run is taking place this Sunday, September 8th. Don't forget to sign up to run, jog, walk, or volunteer to support this event. Proceeds go to the Warm Heart Fund that the First Sergeant's Council uses to help airmen in times of need. You can find the link to register in the group feature of the 169th Fighter Wing app, so join that if you haven't already, or you can find details on any of the many flyers posted around base and sent out in an email. There is no flying planned on Sunday morning. That should help reach max participation across the wing. The Foxtrot Warrior Run is a fun and great event supporting a great cause, which is helping our Swamp Fox when they face a financial hardship. All right, so as we get prepared for the upcoming combat readiness inspection, one of the important things to do is to highlight basically our mission, our vision, and my intent for the wing and where I see us going in the future. Our mission really hasn't changed. We're still the United States Air Force's leading edge combat capability, and our job is to present the most highly trained and lethal force when called upon to defend our state and our nation. Our vision is to organize, train, equip, and deploy mission-ready airmen to defend the homeland, defeat peer adversaries on a contested battlefield, and support civil emergencies. Our mission and vision really hasn't changed much from what we were already executing. One thing to highlight, though, is the vision now focuses on defeating peer adversaries on a contested battlefield and shifting away from the Middle East conflict mentality that we've been fighting for the past decade. As we get there, my intent is fairly simple. I tried to boil it down into the ABCs. So A is always ready. We always need to be prepared to dynamically respond to any tasking or challenge. What that means is everybody needs to have all of their things taken care of, and they need to be prepared to deploy at a moment's notice. So anything you can do now to alleviate stress if we are called to action is beneficial. So people just need to have all of their basic training squares accomplished. You need your IMR done. You need to have your VRED accomplished and up to date. We're working on establishing a new training plan that will cover all of the ancillary training that you're used to doing, and we'll make that into a more efficient and effective process. All right, the next concept is being better than before. So continual improvements in all our tactics, techniques, and procedures. So historically, we've always done a great job, but if we stop there, we'll atrophy and we'll start to lose all of those skill sets that we have already built up. So if we continue to apply incremental improvements, then we'll make sure we're always pushing towards being better and becoming a more effective and lethal force. And as we do that, we need to be a cohesive team. So we're going to leverage our experience and relationships to maximize mission performance. As members of the Guard, we are the most experienced fighting force the U.S. military can offer. Many of you have been here for more than 20 years already. Many of you served multiple years on active duty. And we've been through all of the experiences of the past that we can utilize to help train up all of the younger generation that is showing up to McIntyre. And when we put all that together, if we work together, then we're going to be an unstoppable force. Nobody can get anywhere by themselves. Everybody has had a help from somebody along the way. So if we just work together as a team, we're obviously going to achieve much more than we are going to be able to individually. All right, so as we work our way into September drill, this is going to be a super drill focusing on IMR for the ops group and the maintenance group. So the mission support group and the medical group did theirs back in March. So now it's time for the ops group and maintenance group to get all of their medical squares and IMR tasks accomplished. While we're doing that, we're also going to work in anybody else that has immediate issues. So people going to Checkered Flag and Wessup and Tyndall, if they have things they need to get done before the deployment, they can be seen as well. This will also be the last drill we have before our upcoming inspection in October. So it's going to be very heavily focused on preparing for that inspection. You've heard the inspection called many different things. It was a midpoint, then it was a readiness evaluation. And now we finally settled on the ACCIG's solution of this is a combat readiness inspection, a CRI or a CRI, and it's also a foundational readiness inspection or a FRI, and we'll hear more about that here shortly. These changes are largely due to the Secretary of the Air Force who just visited us last month, and he published 24 directives that are aimed at reoptimizing for great power competition. And what that really means is we have to be ready for a large scale peer adversary type of fight. And in order to do that, we need to be able to present our forces as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And what ACC is going to do now is come in and inspect us to ensure that what we are telling them is actual truth data. So if we've been telling them that we're mission ready, they are now going to come watch us provide an exercise that demonstrates that we are mission ready. And the only way we can do that is by challenging ourselves all the way up to the point of near failure. So we're not going to know where the limit is unless we get to the point of failure. And then we know that that is exactly what we are capable of. And ACC will take that information back and they'll report it up the chain. So out of this inspection, we're hoping the IAG comes back with a grade of ready yes, which indicates that we are mission ready to deploy our forces as we have been reporting. All right, so in order for us to do that, we're going to have a sprint for the next 50-ish days. So I need everybody to come with a good attitude. It's going to be challenging. We're going to work hard. But that's the reason that we're here. It's the reason that we exist. So please show up ready to pitch into the fight. We've done a lot with mission-ready airmen and getting everybody trained up to do things that are outside of their normal day-to-day tasks and their AFSCs. So we need to use that ingenuity in this inspection as well. So if you see a problem, try to be a solution to it to help us get through that problem set. And if we make mistakes, that's not a big deal. We're just going to document them and press forward. And then we're going to make sure that we're making ourselves better for the next time. So we'll provide a debrief at the end of it, and then we'll work on how in the future we can avoid repeating the same mistakes that we've already made. So I think this inspection is going to be a challenge for us, but I think we're all going to do great. Again, we have the right people, we have the right mentality, and we've always come through and met any challenge that we've been presented with. So I think we're going to do just fine. Again, let's just keep our heads down and keep pressing towards the goal of getting through this combat readiness inspection. So to help provide some more background on what this combat readiness inspection may look like and how we're going to prepare for it, we're going to bring in retired Chief Master Sergeant Rob Wright, the Deputy Chief of Staff for the A Staff, and he's going to explain what October is going to look like for us and why there's such a new emphasis on readiness and how we can all start preparing for that drill.
Thank you, Colonel Bowes, for having me here today. We've been all working really hard preparing for this exercise, and we're sprinting, right? We are sprinting fast, but we're going to get there from here. So for October, the combat readiness inspection is kind of a new thing, but an old thing. To me, it's the old school phase one operational readiness inspections. Basically, you can expect to see a large amount of people processing in October, a large amount of cargo processing, a lot of simulated aircraft movement, and then number one is aircraft generation. So this is a heavy lift on maintenance, a heavy lift on the entire wing, right? Everybody is going to have a role to play in this thing. For September, what we need our members to do is get your personal affairs in order. And what I mean by that, get your VREDs in order. If your ID card is going to expire in 3 weeks, go get a new ID card. Dog tags, wills, power of attorneys, family care plans, all that kind of stuff. If you have those things cleaned up for October, we're winning. And that's where we want to be. And for October, expect centralized parking. Again, movement of cargo and personnel. Be safe. There's going to be lots of stuff going on. So we will be graded by ACC in this inspection. ACC's here to evaluate our wit, but they will also be evaluating us as well. So your wit, your wing inspection team, they are key players in this event. They have been attending lots of meetings and lots of preparation as well. So the combat readiness inspection, we're also going to be having a foundation readiness inspection simultaneously with this, but it's small. It's a fry light. So combat readiness inspection is a cry, and a foundational readiness inspection is a fry. So this is a small fry that we're having, and lots of laughs. But basically, both of them are going to test out our processes and make sure we can generate air power for the great power competition.
All right, Rob, so this looks a little different from the previous exercises and probably what we were envisioning the exercise looking like. We thought we were just going to take our jets that were going to Tyndall, we were going to generate them, and then we were going to be out the door and we're going to get graded on that. However, ACC has focused their inspection cycle towards a great power competition mindset, and that's where they developed the combat readiness inspection, the CRI, as you mentioned. So within that CRI cycle, things had to change to meet the requirements that ACC has levied on us, so it looks like we're going to be doing a little bit more than we originally anticipated. Do you have any more background on kind of how all that shook out?
So from 2022, when we had our capstone event, you know, what was expected of a midpoint past that was a midpoint used to be a paperwork shuffle, you know, kind of the FRI related, the foundational readiness inspection kind of things, looking over our programs and processes. So we've gone from that for a midpoint to now this combat readiness inspection. And for these readiness inspections, they are wanting to look at our mission essential task out of the Defense Readiness Reporting System, which a lot of people probably don't know about these things, but you should ask your supervisor or come see me and we can sit down and talk about it. But your mission essential task are what's driving this this inspection. These are things that they're inspectable items. We are basically proving to you, Colonel Bowes, and to the ACCIG that we can generate air power and people and go to the fight ready. And that's the most important thing, is being ready for these great power competitions. We have made full circle, right? When I joined the Air Force, we were preparing for the Soviet Union. Now we were preparing for any competitor who is peer or near peer. So to wrap this thing up, in closure, so September drill, come prepared to get your affairs in order. You know, get up to date on whatever training and medical outstanding items you may have. If you've got a PHAQ due, get that done now. Don't wait till October. If you have, if you need to update your recall roster, get that done now. The whole ad hoc thing, expect for that to happen in October sometime. Family care plans, get that done.
All right, Rob, so it sounds like October drill is going to be a pretty busy drill with this inspection. So we're doing a 4-day super drill. That's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which is fairly non-standard. So we appreciate everybody flexing their schedules to make that happen. But we're at the mercy of the IG team schedule and also us getting out of town for WESOP and Checkered Flag. So with those 4 days, you can probably expect pretty full work days. We're going to show up, hit the ground running, and expect your full day to be comprised of accomplishing tasks that are exercise related. So processing equipment, processing people, defending the base, because we'll be contested as well. So you can expect all kinds of injects to occur to try to make that process more difficult. And we're going to have to dynamically think of how we're going to work our way through it and still be able to generate air power. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, just everything you said, sir. Just come prepared September to start knocking out some of your deployable items, some of your items that you should keep up to date on a regular basis, so family care plans, ID cards, things of that nature. And then we'll have a great preparation event in September and then a great inspection in October.
Rob, thanks for coming by and helping us demystify how this process is going to work for the combat readiness inspection and the foundational readiness inspection at October drill. All right, so now we got Staff Sergeant Mitch Duncan from Intel. He's going to provide us a basic road to war that conceptually is just going to give us a notional way that we could find ourselves in a conflict with a near peer.
Thank you for having me. So yeah, talking about a notional road to war, kind of how a near peer conflict can play out. Last like 20, 25 years, we've been more of a coin fighting force. So just trying to look at the differences maybe that you'll see. So like one of the big ones is going to be your near peer adversaries are going to take measures to minimize warnings. So we saw this with Russia and Ukraine when that started in 2022. If you remember President Biden on the news during the day making press conferences about these large exercises that Russia was hardening the border with Ukraine. That was one way of them to minimize warning. So that's something we'll define as like an ambiguous warning, something that could be leading towards a conflict, or it could just be like they've said an exercise. We saw in 2022 where that turned out to be a war, an invasion from Russia to Ukraine. But you also have unambiguous warnings, something like disrupting the civilian sector in a large way. That's a pretty ambiguous warning that a near peer adversary is going to seriously do something. Also talking about, since this is a mission generation exercise, the effects really start in the homeland as well, not just when you get out there. So General Hyten, who was a former vice chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, he described a blue team in a war games with near peer adversaries losing access to its networks almost immediately upon the fight. So as soon as that strategic warning is being made, you're going to see a network loss. You're also going to have the modern military munition burn rate. So thinking about when you're going overseas to these deployments, if you look at Ukraine, Russia is a good example. Again, the amount of munitions they're going through and the amount of strategic airlift you would need in order to get out there and refill your ammunition. When looking at the homeland again, strikes against U.S. bases are big things you'll see in the movies, stuff like that. That's not something that you're really going to be focused on. Yes, that's possible, but you're more, due to the geography of the U.S., though, it's not a big of a worry. You're also going to see limited soft incursions to infiltrate and attack like high value targets or domestic uprisings, things like that. You might also see, you will see a lot of economic information and diplomatic measures to isolate the U.S. So your near peer is going to take these measures in order to isolate the U.S. from its allies and to drive morale of the U.S. and people internationally to not intervene in whatever the near peer adversary is attempting to do. And that's mostly what I had. I ran through that kind of fast. I'm sorry.
Mitch, thanks for the intelligence perspective on how we could find ourselves in a situation where we need to deploy our wing for a near peer type of conflict.
Thank you for having me, sir.
This exercise is going to be a big lift. We're going to use our experience and our athleticism to power through these. We're going to get a good score on our inspection, and then we're going to turn around and we're going to send the jets down to Tyndall Air Force Base for checkered flag and WESIP. With October being a super drill for the inspection, there won't be a drill in November. So just the October 15th through the 18th, and then the next time we meet again is going to be in December. And then it's going to be time for Winterfest and Christmas parties and getting ready for the new year. So let's get through this sprint, and then we'll take some time over the holidays to recharge, enjoy time with your families, take a break, and then we'll come back from that and we'll get spun up for Operation Noble Eagle. And that'll wrap up my first edition of the Fox Chatter podcast. Please let me know if you have any comments, questions, or any feedback, and we'll incorporate that into the future. Looking forward to seeing you all at September Drill.